Good afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the email the show tab.
I'm only halfway here today, Karen. No voice, but we're going to give it a shot. But even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars. We'll talk about that in a moment. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You could link to our Facebook page, join our Orlando Sentinel blog, and of course join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other announcements about the show. And of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And finally, again, thank you to so many of you for supporting the Community Association Member Party this year. As you know, another legislative session came to a close with absolutely no help for Floridians living in a community association. We're certainly going to talk about that a lot today. We'll try again next year to get some legislation passed and to find out more about how you can get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes. Again, visit www.camp2012.net. That's www.camp2012.net. And lots to talk about on today's show. So let's just get some housekeeping matters out of the way and remind everyone that while HOA board members don't have to, again, because that was killed by the Florida legislature this year, lots of HOA members unhappy about that. Board members, though, if you live in a condominium, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board of directors, or you are suspended. And one way to get certified is by taking the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course, and Floridians can sign up for any one of our two different locations for the time being, and here they are. The next one is actually this Tuesday. Again, that's this Tuesday, the 27th of March at 9:30 a.m. at the PM Expo event in Punta Gorda. Mitch Drimmer from Association Financial Services will be with us as well, right, Mitch?
I certainly will.
And we look forward to seeing you there. And I understand these are really great facilities. Should be an amazing event. We anticipate a lot of people. And the event after that is April 5th at 7 o'clock at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Excuse me, to register for any of the seminars, just go to www.condocrazeandhoas.com. That's www.condocrazeandhoas.com.
And to all of you new board members who just got elected here in 2012, why don't you come on down and learn about all your fiduciary duties, how to prepare budgets, how to do reserve funding, how to notice and conduct meetings, your governing documents, all the new laws that got passed last year, and whether or not any of these laws even apply to your community. There's always good food and drink, and best of all, it's free.
Absolutely, and thanks to all the callers, again, who compliment us on the seminars each and every week. Again, we mean it sincerely. We're honored to serve as the law firm to so many of you, but we're even prouder that now over 2,000 of you have chosen us to be your teachers at these seminars. If anybody actually wants to see photos of the Condo Craze seminars, just go to Facebook and search for Condo Craze and HOAs. Lots and lots of pictures are up there on the site, lots of comments from people who've attended the course as well. Be sure to click on the like button and become a fan of the show. And again, if you want to register for any of the two seminars left, whether it's in Hollywood or Punta Gorda, just sign up at condocrazeandhoas.com, and Brian, our office manager, will send you confirmation that you are, in fact, registered.
And how about reminding everyone that people can get certified in smaller private seminars, too?
Yeah, that's right, Karen. As we've done many times now, and as we did at Mediterranean Village on Williams Island this week, we can actually have a private seminar for your board. It's a fantastic opportunity to not only get certified, but a great time to talk about what the association's needs and demands are from their law firm in the upcoming year ahead. Again, all free of charge.
3 hours of private time with the Glaze. How much does that go for?
That's big money. That on eBay.
Yeah. Right. Last show, we spoke about the Florida legislature folding up its tent this year without passing a single piece of legislation designed to help condo associations or HOAs. A new bill that would protect developers in an HOA by making it clear that they don't provide any warranty to the owners in a community regarding the condition of their driveways, sidewalks, and drainage. And the fact that the Florida legislature actually believes that taking away these warranties from new home buyers will somehow stabilize our shaky housing market.
Yeah, that's right, Karen. It borders on insanity, and it definitely deserves a recap this week for those who didn't get to hear the show last week. The Florida legislature actually passed a law that negates a decision of an appellate court of this state, which concluded that a developer of a new HOA, that they do provide warranties to an association, actually an implied warranty, regarding the off-site improvements such as utilities, drainage, sidewalks, and driveways. And in fact, the Florida legislature said that having developers provide new buyers with a warranty is somehow, believe it or not, detrimental to the housing market in Florida.
Well, that just makes total sense, doesn't it, Eric?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you know, I hope we encouraged all of you out there to get really angry about what the Florida legislature did and immediately bombard the governor with, you know, telephone calls, emails, faxes, whatever you can send to him, demanding that he veto this bill. Because if he doesn't veto it, it becomes the law here in Florida.
And we also discussed the fact that a bill that was designed to protect banks and limit what they pay to an association when they foreclose failed to make it to the floor of the Senate for a vote despite passing almost unanimously in the House.
Yeah, again, that's right, Karen. If our listeners remember, we discussed a bill that was sponsored by House Representative Moraitis, which was House Bill 319, and that sought to make it clear that a bank's liability to a condo or an HOA was limited to only 1% of the mortgage they foreclosed on, or 1 year of assessments. And of course, banks were complaining that some collection agencies were demanding more from them than this limit. So Representative Moraitis attempted to come to their rescue, and he proposed a bill that would have made it very clear that a bank that forecloses on a property does not have to pay any prior late fees, interest, or attorney's fees that accumulated on that unit before the bank took title. And the bill did, in fact, pass the House of Representatives.
And then Senator Bogdanoff presented her bill in the Senate, which sought to do the same thing and protect the banks. But it turned out that there was overwhelming opposition this time around. The legislators were bombarded by so many of you who argued that this was another attempt by Moraitis and Bogdanoff to bail out the banks. And the bill then simply died by not even making it up to a vote on the Senate floor.
Yeah, well, as we promised, we invited Mitch Drimmer from Association Financial Services on the show to give us his perspective as to why the bill failed, who was demanding passage of the bill, why and what specific legislators were lining up with the banks. And again, let me just set the stage for who Association Financial Services is, what they do, and how they helped in getting this bill to die. Association Financial Services is a collection agency that helps Florida community associations collect on delinquent units, whether it be from specific delinquent unit owners or banks that owe the association monies as well. And in the interest of full disclosure, in my humble opinion, Association Financial Services is absolutely in competition with law firms that practice community association law in attempting to attract associations as clients. And finally, I have no problem telling everybody that Association Financial Services and many law firms, including mine, that practice community association law, we kind of differ on the interpretation of current collection statutes. Most firms believing that the bank's liability to an association is definitely limited to the lesser of the 1 year or 1%, but Association Financial Services believes that the banks are also responsible for other late fees, interest, and attorney's fees that accumulated on that unit before that bank actually takes title.
And as Eric said, we might not agree with them completely on their interpretation, but we definitely agree with them on the spirit of their fight.
Absolutely.
As we said, in no small part due to the success of Association Financial Services in forcing some banks to pay in excess of the 1 year 1% cap, the Florida legislature just tried to help the banks by making it even clearer in the statute that the bank's liability is limited. But Association Financial Services battled it out against law firm lobbyists and legislators who are friends of the banking industry. And when we get back, we're going to find out why they believe this bank bailout died in the Senate, why they fought so hard against it, who is giving them the greatest opposition. It may surprise you, but it probably won't. And which legislatures lined up with the banks and against the association.
All right, okay, without any further ado, let's introduce the gentleman from Association Financial Services who are on the show today. And gentlemen, first of all, thank you very much for joining us today. We much appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on the show today, Eric and Scott. I'm here today with, my name's Mitch Drimmer, and I'm here today with Alex Moskowitz, our principal, one of the principals of our company. And I also brought with us our in-house legal counsel, Jeff Oshinsky. This is Florida. Never leave your home without an attorney. And it's Alex was the one who actually spearheaded this effort in the legislature. He went up to Tallahassee, our man in Tallahassee, like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. It was Mr. Moskowitz goes to Tallahassee.
Gotcha.
Hello, right. Alex.
Hi, Eric. Hi, Scott. Hi, Karen. Thanks for having us here.
All right. Let me just set the stage for some of our listeners again. Association Financial Services is a collection firm. You guys work with community associations, and I got to tell you, you've been knocking the banks around pretty good, oftentimes getting the banks to pay associations more than the 1 year or the 1% cap. So here comes the Florida legislature to the bank's defense, and they try to pass a bill that makes it absolutely clear that a bank would never have to pay anything more than the 1 year, the 1% cap, and that there's no liability for them for other interest, late fees or attorney's fees, or any other collection costs. And the first question I have is, you know, with the owners of homes and Florida condominiums and HOAs in such financial trouble, why do you think that the Florida legislature would jump so fast and try to pass a bill that protects the banks, but not the owners in these communities who have been taking a beating for so many years now?
Well, first, Eric, I think it's important to realize that the disagreement over the safe harbor really stems over exactly what is and is not protected by the plain meaning of the statutes. We and the many attorneys with whom we work throughout the state do not even seek to collect more than what is legally permitted by the statute. This bill would have to do with banks that had the right to do to the so-called statutory cap. But the important question that you asked was, why did the Florida legislature even consider an anti-association bill in the first place?
Yeah, Alex, what do you got to say in that regard?
Eric, I think it's important to recognize a few things. First, the initial House Bill 319 and its companion in the Senate, Senate Bill 680, did not originally have any change to the safe harbor language. It's unfortunate that those changes couldn't be pulled out in order to let the other elements of these bills pass.
Yeah, right. Just let's remind everybody that this bill not only had the safe harbor provision in it, but there were other provisions in there regarding arbitration provisions, where I remember a recalled board member would have the right to challenge the recall, things of that nature. In addition to the safe harbor, there were some other minor statutory changes that would have been made to the condo and HOA laws.
Life safety issues with elevators.
Right, exactly. So that died too when this bill died.
Correct. And when the House bill was initially amended in December 2011, just before the winter holiday, Christmas, Hanukkah, New Year's break was happening, Representative Moraitis added language that had been drafted by Becker-Polyakov's call organization. I believe that the legislators trusted the source of those changes, and honestly, they likely had the best interests of associations at heart. Unfortunately, I don't think that was the case as it relates to the proposed changes to the safe harbor. Therefore, this wasn't quite a case of the legislators jumping quickly, per se, to help banks. Instead, it was the banks taking advantage of how frenetic the legislative process can be in order to gain further advantage with respect to community associations. I believe, though I don't know this to be the case, that it may have been attorneys fighting to protect what they view as their way to handle community collections without exposing themselves to liability.
Well, all right, let's set the stage here. When you guys heard that Representative Moraitis drafted this bill, which at least some people thought of as another bailout bill for the banks, I guess it became clear that you had to mobilize, you had to do something quick to fight against it. You know, how do you get started? What do you do first? Did you actually reach out to Representative Moraitis?
Well, Eric, I got to tell you, we called Representative Moraitis. We asked him to come over for a coffee and a Danish to talk to us. But pretty much he didn't answer our calls, and his email was a template with pat answers, and really, he didn't properly address the intricacies and the complexities of the issues. He wouldn't come over to the House.
It's actually quite interesting. First, we tried to understand who was pushing the bill, and our understanding was that the initial base legislation was actually drafted by CAN, which is somewhat tangentially related with the Katzman firm. And we had no problems with that base legislation. In fact, we supported a lot of the things that were in there. That Representative Moraitis asked Donna Berger to later draft the amended language after the base bill had been submitted, and that she didn't think that language, that change, that amendment to the safe harbor was necessary. This led to the representative then approaching Call to draft it, and I guess they wanted to be involved in this year's legislative process.
Right.
So we tried figuring out why is it that they would be promoting the bill, and while there was lots of hypotheses raised, it ultimately didn't matter. The issue was this seemed to be a bad amendment, so we began to figure out how to remove this specific amendment. And as Mitch said, we tried approaching the Representative Moraitis to see if he would remove that language, and the response that he gave back to the lobbyists that had been engaged to help learn more about what was happening in Tallahassee was, this was a key provision, this is what he wanted to see happen in the bill, and the other issues were, besides the point, he was happy to let the bill die if he couldn't get this change in safe harbor.
Gotcha.
Through.
And you mentioned that there were lobbyists, so I guess Association Financial Services did, in fact, hire a lobbyist. And I guess if you don't have a lobbyist today, you ain't getting anywhere near the legislative door.
Well, that might be the case. Technically, some of the partners of AFS hired a lobbyist as opposed to AFS directly. But yes, a lobbyist was hired to help us figure out what was happening in Tallahassee, because we're not there. We've got jobs to run every day, and you know we need someone to be on the ground up in Tallahassee to tell us what's happening.
All right, so eventually the merits of this bill wind up getting debated in front of various committees in the state capitol, whether or not that safe harbor provision should be clarified to make sure that the banks don't pay any more than at 1 year or 1%. And who did you work with to actually argue the point of view that the bank should have to pay more than the 1 year or 1%?
Well, you know, and I think this is, and you said it up front in the introduction, we have a slight difference of a perspective of what that safe harbor is. And I think we view it, instead of the debate being over trying to increase the safe harbor or us trying to collect more than what's legally allowed, we viewed it as the debate was over actually over what the safe harbor was, meaning we view it as that cap is that 1%, lesser of 1%, 12 months of just unpaid assessments, which is what the statute says.
So to clarify, you're taking a position that the cap of 1% of 1 year only applies to assessments, if I'm correct, right?
Correct, which means the association would have an incentive to continue pursuing collections, and that banks would therefore be disincentivized to further delay their own foreclosure processes, which is what we in fact see in communities throughout the state. So if they really didn't, if the safe harbor did protect the total amount due, there'd be no reason for them to ever pursue their foreclosure. They could just wait, and at some point in time in the future, take title, turn around, sell it, and they would have a fixed amount that they'd have to pay the association.
And I guess you guys certainly try to educate the legislators on just what this safe harbor was actually intended to do or not intended to do.
Well, it was more important to not only educate the legislators and send up lobbyists, Eric. We had to educate the rank and file, the people, the members, the owners, the board members. After all, yes, lobbyists are important, but if you don't have the voice of the people behind you, because the currency for politicians are votes, and the people are the ones who are voting. So we set up a website, a counterpoint of some of the misinformation that had been getting circulated by people supporting the change. We encouraged people to write and call the representatives in the House and Senate, and they did so en masse. And as you know, in the community association industry, it's been show season these last few months, and I stood at my booth asking people to call the representatives instead of selling my services. And the people stood up, they stepped up, and I guess the Senate heard the people.
Yeah. And in fact, along that point, while we were going through this process and sending out those emails, we were actually getting positive feedback from community association, other advocacy groups, like Space Coast Community Association.
Yeah, no doubt. And we'll talk about some of those groups after we get back from our half-hour break. Jim, we see you on hold, taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this. Let's get back to our two guests, Mitch Drimmer and Alex Moskowitz. And guys, you were telling us about the fight that you were having at the state capitol in Tallahassee. And during these arguments, again, when you guys were represented by lobbyists even at the time, what kind of feelings were you guys getting from the members of these committees? Did these members seem to be pro-bank or pro-union owner? Did you get a feel one way or the other?
Take this one, Alex.
I think it was a little bit of a mix. I flew up to Tallahassee after having grown up in Florida for the better part of 3.5 decades. I'd never made it to Tallahassee. But then I made it twice in a 2-week period. And on each of those occasions, I met with several different both House of Representatives, but primarily senators. And then I also spoke in front of one of the committees within the House. And they have so many items on their agendas. They're going through 3,000-plus bills each legislative period that I was given all of 2 minutes to discuss the matter in front of committee. I believe their decisions are made before anyone even appears before the committee. And unfortunately, because there are other aspects to the bills that are helpful or were helpful to associations, the traditional community association lobbying groups in Florida, CALL and CAN, were both supporting this bill. I think the legislator simply said, well, so what if the bank lobbyists seem to be in support of this bill? The CALL and CAN organizations are backing it as well, so we would defer to them, and it's probably okay, without getting into the details of, is this pro-bank, is this pro-community association?
Right. So it was deferred to community association lobbying firms, for lack of a better term, because the legislators thought, at least, that these firms were acting in the association's best interest.
Correct.
Despite the fact that these actual bills were designed to actually make sure the banks don't pay the associations any more money whatsoever.
Surprising to us as well.
Right. All right. Now, I disclosed at the beginning of the show, and again, no secret that, at least in my opinion, I know you guys disagree, but Association Financial Services, you guys are in competition with law firms for working with associations on their collection matters. And interestingly enough, you know, here we had a bill, again, it was trying to put less money in the hands of community associations. And who did you find to be the biggest supporters of the bill, actually?
Well, Eric, I appreciate you pointing that out. I don't view AFS as in competition with law firms.
That's where we disagree, but that's fine.
I understand. AFS, just for sake of clarity, because our general counsel is here, and I'll get in trouble if I don't do something like this, AFS is not a law firm, nor do we attempt to do any legal work. Instead, we are a licensed consumer collections agency. We bring to communities a collection solution that includes law firms from around the state of Florida. The solution includes deferring fees, risking them where appropriate, and also providing liquidity, so some sort of financial solution, to the associations who want it. As for the proponents of the bill, as I previously stated, it was originally drafted, to my understanding, by CAN, which is closely affiliated with Katzmann. The amended safe harbor, which is really the controversial element, the part that was pro-bank as we saw it, was really being pushed by CALL, which is controlled by Becker-Polyakov. And so I think those are really the biggest proponents of this bill as it was gaining momentum.
Well, of course, the big backers of this bill were the bank lobby. And the bank lobby was represented by Anthony DeMarco, who works for the Florida Bankers Association. So if you looked at what CAN and CALL were supporting, they were supporting exactly what Anthony DeMarco was supporting. So I guess they were pretty much aligned with the bankers.
Right. So, you know, the groups claiming to represent the interests of the community associations, again, to be clear, they were up there with the lobbyists arguing support of the same bill that the banks were arguing for.
Well, if these guys are with Anthony DeMarco, then I guess they're working with the banks.
Eric, we couldn't believe it either. I mean, those same groups that say their interpretation of the statute must somehow be the only one, and then they leverage the fact that, well, it's the same view espoused by the banking lobby, so therefore it must be the only one. It's hard for me to think that they're promoting the interests of the associations. And while you and I disagree, and many of the attorneys with whom we work would disagree with your interpretation of the statute, you're a pro-association guy, so you're willing to say, look, maybe there's a gray area, maybe there's not, but let the courts resolve this issue. Don't let the banks take a backdoor entrance and pass a law that clarifies this statute
and
bill in favor.
And that's exactly the point that I've spoken about on other shows. Why actually line up with the banks? Why not let a court of appeals decision actually, court of appeals make a decision in this regard rather than stand up on the same side of these banks? But, you know, why would you think that the law firms who are claiming to represent the interests of the associations are up there in Tallahassee lining up on the same sides of the banks?
Well, we don't like to gossip, so we won't. However, we did find it surprising when in an open letter by a law firm to Tallahassee, there had been a case in which HUD, a bank, had been represented by Becker and Polyakov against the community association. Frankly, as a non-attorney, I was shocked to see this, as though I thought lawyers had astringent conflict checks they had to pass. I was amazed by this.
Yeah, in fact, another attorney told me they thought they'd picked up as many, many thousands and thousands of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac lender representation cases when the law offices of David Stearns shut down. I haven't seen any of those, but someone mentioned that to me, and I found it shocking. And if it were true, I hope some good investigative journalist brings it out.
Guys, just so I'm on the record here, my position on the current statute is that the bank's liability to an association is capped at that 1%, or 1 year of assessments, and the bill probably didn't really need that clarification. But that being said, you know, Eric Glazer isn't a judge. I'm not a legislator. So my opinion, you know, quite frankly, doesn't matter all that much. But I'll say this. What I'm not going to do in a million years is I'm not going to go up there and line up on the same side of the banks. That I won't do. I'm not going to urge the Florida legislature to pass a law that expressly limits what the bank pays to a community association. And I got to tell you, I'm never going to understand how taking that position actually benefits the owners in a community association, even though I understand maybe two or three associations got sued by the banks for demanding the 1 year or 1% cap. Who knows what a court would do, especially an appeals court. Like I said time and again on the show, maybe we're going to get an appeals court that's had enough of the bank's tactics, and the appeals court's going to lay it into them and actually make them pay more.
Eric, I know this isn't a forum for legal debate. However, as general counsel of AFS, it's my opinion that the statute is clear that the safe harbor expressly limits only the unpaid assessments. Elsewhere in the condo and HOA statutes, the law specifies how any payments must be applied to any interest, late fees, costs, and reasonable attorney fees. By doing so, the legislature recognizes two things. One, that assessments are different from the other charges that may appear on a ledger. And two, that payments must be applied to charges accruing on a ledger regardless of when they accrue. At worst, this is a gray area that allows attorneys to debate this fact. We agree that no one is pro-association should attempt to change the law and, worse, make it retroactive, which could expose them to liability for past collections.
Again, you know, maybe a judge will rule the statute is ambiguous and the banks have to pay more. You know, maybe we'll get that sympathetic appeals court who's had enough of robo-signing and foreclosure delays to rule on the side of the desperate homeowners and make the banks pay more. But just because a few condos were sued out of the thousands that are out there doesn't mean that you throw in the towel and that you cave in to the banks. You know, to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
You bet. And the talk about lawsuits, to me, was a real ugly, big scare tactic used by the bank lobby to try and shut down the people of Florida from expressing their feelings about what they saw, what they believed was clearly a bank bailout bill.
Back again to the topic at hand. Now you guys have basically completed 12 rounds of a heavyweight fight with the Florida legislature. And in hindsight, what do you think about this entire crazy process that we call the Florida legislature and the costs involved, whether or not the system works, and whether or not, quite frankly, the average guy out there has a shot?
I'm going to throw this over to Alex because Alex was involved in this whole process.
Eric, it's interesting, and I'm still trying to really process all of my thoughts on it, but I was impressed at how relentless the machinery can be. I was also amazed at how overwhelming it can be for legislators to be handling so many bills involving a wide variety of issues, from criminal matters to county-specific matters to regulatory issues to community association details. If anything's broken, it's that the legislators expect to hear from lobbying organizations. They expect to hear from constituents. Very often, I think these constituents just abscond their own responsibilities. They let the lobbyists represent them, and they're not necessarily inspecting what's actually being done. So I think it's important when you see people like Roger Castleback from the Space Coast Communities Association organization, who's exceptionally involved both for his own community association up in the Space Coast. They represent 20,000 plus unit owners. And he was very opposed to this bill. He first communicated it privately to the people who are trying to promote this safe harbor change. And when they wouldn't listen to him, he got directly involved as well, communicating with legislators. He was working with us. He was helping us. We were helping him. And so when you have people like that, I think it's an important message to all of the residents in these communities that they have to be proactive. They have to call their legislators. They can't just sit back and expect people to take care of them.
That's right. Big props to Roger. We would like to thank him, and so should the citizens of Florida. He was very instrumental in working with us and the people who were against this bank bailout bill. The outcome of the legislation was spot on, and I would say that the process works because the bank bailout bill never saw the light of day. Democracy cannot work without the voice of the people being heard. The citizens of Florida spoke up, and the Senate did the right thing. It was a tough fight, but I got to tell you, it's not over. The bank lobby will be back for a rematch and trying to put their hands in the pockets of condos and HOAs, and this time, we're going to be better prepared.
That's my final question of the hour, gentlemen. Do you think that this topic is going to rear its ugly head again this time next year?
No doubt. There's going to be another rumble in the jungle, another Ali Foreman fight. Well, Alex, what do you think?
I think banks will continue to try and find ways to use their deeper pockets to take advantage of community associations. Right. I don't think that's going away.
And I guess if that they go down that road again, you guys are going to go through the same exact efforts as you did this year. I know you had an amazing email campaign, mailing campaign, and obviously certainly worked out for the best when that bill died a slow death without even making it to a vote in the Senate.
Sure, we worked hard. And you know, we're closing this out, but I'd like to make a personal note. I want to say that my mom and dad, ages 91 and 84, who live in a condo on a fixed income, were very well pleased. Thanks for having us, Eric, and I'll see you this coming week, March 27th in Punta Gorda at the PM Expo, where both you and I will be giving some educational classes.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to another week of Condo Craze and HOAs, and we'll see you again same time next week. Have a good week, everybody.